This podcast is a part of CGN Media, a podcast network that points to Christ. We are supported by listeners like you. To help us create more great shows, visit cgnmedia.org/support.
Matthew 23 and just tells them what hypocrites they are and how they are like whitewashed tombs with dead man's bones. And he's saying, like, outwardly you're trying to be perfect, but you miss out on the whole point that your heart is what God cares about. And I believe that in Jesus saying this, it's okay to be called higher, that it's not the outward that God cares about, but about your heart and your motives and, you know, why you do things, how you do things, and that you represent his love and mercy towards one another, which, you know, I think is an even higher calling. Don't just look right on the outside, but have the right heart and motive behind what you do.
So today we have a great topic, the problem with perfectionism. Are you guys perfect?
No, but I want to be.
I'm joined by team members Kelly Bell and Rosemary Katie today, my perfect friends.
Yes, I'm a recovering perfectionist. Yep.
Perfectionism, what do we have to say about it? Perfectionist has excessively high personal standards and overly critical self-evaluation. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That is by definition. This is the self-critic. You don't need anyone telling you all your flaws because you have identified and played them over in a loop in your head already.
Over and over, yes.
And my personal opinion is that these individuals feel that they are very far from being perfect. And so what do we do? What do we do with this? What does the Bible have to say? Does the Bible instruct in this? And we know that it does because it instructs us in everything. And how can we allow grace in our own lives and those in others' lives? So let's talk about it.
All right. Yeah, and the reason we're talking about this is because this is a big topic. There is a lot of pressure upon us as women, upon us as people, and upon us as leaders to be, you know, quote, quote, perfect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure to do things right. And we see things all over the place. There's so much information out there on social media, on the internet, everywhere, where people show you how to eat right, how to dress, how to decorate your house, how to entertain, how to raise your kids, all the things your kids should do. And you just see what's going on in everybody else's life. And there's just a ton of pressure.
Yeah.
I feel like this pressure has really affected our mental health and our well-being and the way that we do things, where we just struggle trying to do all these things that we think we should be doing. We feel overwhelmed. We feel anxious.
Depressed.
We struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, I think, with the images, like the visual images that we have just constantly at our fingertips now.
Yeah.
And I feel like we all have this image in our head of what a Christian should act like, or being a mom, or being a wife, or being a pastor's wife, or a ministry leader, a Bible teacher. We have these like standards in our head of like, what kind of example we've been taught, like what kind of example should you be?
Yeah.
And so we have this image of how we're supposed to be. And is that realistic?
Yeah.
Is that a realistic image?
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because social media definitely makes it worse, but it's something that I think we have struggled with since, you know, the beginning of time. But there's kind of two kinds too. There's self-orientated perfectionism, where you impose these unrealistic expectations and goals and desires to be perfect on yourself. But then there's others-orientated perfectionism, which you impose unrealistic expectations and standards of perfection on others. And I think it's interesting too, because you can be I joked in the beginning that I'm a recovering perfectionist, but it is actually true. But it can be in particular areas. Like if you went into my home, you wouldn't think I was a perfectionist by how clean I am or anything like that. But mine is more achievement probably driven, you know, goals and things like that. And so it's just interesting. And there's such a fine line between perfectionism and just being achieving and wanting to do well for the Lord, you know, and having the standard of excellence, that doesn't mean that's bad. But when your motive and all that turns to, I guess, self-focused and needing to be perfect and all that, then you've crossed this line over. So it's a kind of a hard line to walk sometimes, wanting to be the best for the Lord in that sense, and having the standard of excellence and wanting to glorify Him, yet crossing that line into perfectionism. I think it's a fine line. And we're driven, I think perfectionists are driven by a fear of failure too, and this internal pressure and a desire to avoid failure and judgment. And often when we are perfectionists, we tend to find fault in everything. And we're very critical because we measure everything and everybody with that standard, I guess, that we look at ourselves. It can lead to compulsive behavior, constantly seeking reassurance and validation and others' approval, you know, if that feeds us. And I don't know, can causes comparison. I read a quote this week, and it said, someone with a perfectionism attitude, it's like an endless report card based on accomplishment. And I lived that for many years, and it's taxing and tiring and sinful. And sinful, really. Yeah.
I think, why would you say sinful?
Because I feel like it, when it becomes that, my focus now is on myself being perfect, and we already know where our eyes are on ourselves, it's wrong. And I think Scripture is so clear on, I don't know, I guess it flies in the face of Jesus coming, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? We all are not perfect, and His grace is sufficient for us because we are weak and He is strong, right? Paul says he has not attained, but he presses on. And James talks about we all stumble in many things. It's not a realistic goal to be perfect. And we aren't supposed to be. We wouldn't need Jesus if we were perfect. He is the only perfect one. And so in our imperfections is when we learn to depend on Him and trust Him and seek Him for that strength and the grace that you talked about originally. And we are created for good works, but we were not saved because of our good works. And so when we are just always just goal and driven like that, if it's for seeking approval, we're supposed to be seeking God's approval, not people. So that's what I mean by sinful. I feel like it just flies in the face, really, of dependence on Christ. I don't know.
I think it depends on your motivation too, or where it stems from, because I feel like, you know, we all want to be good examples. Like we come to the Lord, we want to do well, we want to be a right representation of Him. And so, but there's like the topic we're talking about goes beyond that though. It puts the pressure on us. There's a lot of self pressure. So I think it depends on like, well, what's at the core of the perfectionism, and is it sinful? Yes, it could be. Like if it stems from like a legalistic, you know, kind of core, or is it stemming from like a self righteousness kind of a core? Like I think there's,
or even that insecurities can lead to being a perfectionism, really, because you're trying to combat the insecurities that you have by pressing
by
forward.
By achieving. So I think that there are some things I think it can definitely lead to.
Yeah. It's like a spiritual bondage. Behavior. It can be a bondage. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are, I think when we lose like kind of sight of the cross and sight of the cross in our sanctification, I think that's when we could get into trouble. I was reading these verses earlier today in Galatians 3, it's 2-5. It says, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. Mm-hmm. You received the Spirit because you believed the message that you had heard about Christ. How foolish can you be after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Mm-hmm. I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message that you heard about Christ.
Mm, amen. Yeah.
And, you know, another thing, we're talking about how it's bad for us spiritually to strive for perfectionism. And, you know, when we strive to be perfect, it can make us so dysfunctional as just human beings, and especially as leaders. When we're leaders, being dysfunctional just makes the whole thing start to fall apart. You can really have this striving for perfectionism, and it can mess with your sleep, and you can stay up at night just worrying and going over what could be the next day or what should have been that day or how this or that can go. You can get insomnia. Yeah. You can create anxiety within you, just a constant worry about how things are going.
And ulcer.
It can mess with everything, just the way you feel, the way you sleep, and even the way you eat. It can create eating disorders as you just strive to be perfect. And I just see that as when a leader starts to become dysfunctional, that there's just going to be real problems in your ministry and in your lives and in your home with your family.
Perfectionism can cause be the root of obsessive compulsive behavior like you talked about. And my personal one was eating disorders. I think my insecurities led me to that. That's a long story that I'm not talking about. But then when you're in it, you feel that you can never be skinny enough, cute enough, this enough, this enough. And so you're just always striving to be perfect and you can't. And so it's just this battle that just continues on. So it can, left unchecked, perfectionism, if it crosses that line into some kind of disorder or, again, a spiritual bondage, it can really manifest itself in all the ways, Rosemary, that you said. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's almost like a continual self-examination and what that I have to do, because I know my tendency. Okay, am I trying to get these 30 things done today so that I feel good about myself, that I could check it off, or because this is what I feel God has for me today? Right. And who does it affect? Does anybody else care that I did 40 things today? No, they don't. So I have a lot of...
I'm always quite impressed at how much you do.
Well, thank you. But I mean, I'm always having to... That's just my personality anyways, but I'm always having to check my motive and check my heart and self-examine. And I have gotten way better as I've got older because I've learned a lot of lessons, pitfalls, things like that, and how to recognize it in myself and the effect that it has on me. You know, just like any of your natural tendencies, once you're aware of them, that's the first thing. Recognize it, own it, and then set up boundaries and things that to do. So a lot of speaking the truth to myself, that was a big thing with eating disorder, speaking the truth, deciding not to believe the lie that this matters, that God wants me to be like this, but speaking truth over myself. I still have to do that quite often. So
it seems like a lot of unrealistic expectations. Like you just have these such high expectations that nobody could ever hit. And so then when you don't hit them, then that self-critic comes in, the enemy comes in and condemns you and makes you feel bad. And I was looking at a scripture in Matthew 5, and just the scripture that says, you know, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so we take a walk with that and we're like, okay, well, what does that mean?
Wait,
I'm supposed to be perfect.
The Bible just told us to be perfect.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like, be perfect as Jesus is perfect. And you're like,
okay,
wait a minute. I can't do that. I'm already going to fail. But we have to realize, obviously, that in the Bible, that word perfect means complete and whole, fully developed.
Yeah.
I have more to say on that. That was just something so striking. We learned about Sermon on the Mount in our women's ministry, and just that's something that really trips people up when Jesus says that in Matthew 5:48, be perfect. And, you know, we just know that we can't be. Mm-hmm. But just looking back at the big picture, he's also just addressing this mentality where you had Pharisees who were outwardly trying to be perfect, like follow the law perfectly, look right on the outside. And then Jesus calls them on all of this in Matthew 23 and just tells them what hypocrites they are and how they are like whitewashed tombs with dead man's bones. And he's saying, like, outwardly you're trying to be perfect, but you miss out on the whole point that your heart is what God cares about. Yeah. And I believe that in Jesus saying this, it's okay to be called higher that it's not the outward that God cares about, but about your heart and your motives and, you know, why you do things, how you do things, and that you represent his love and mercy towards one another, which, you know, I think is an even higher calling. Don't just look right on the outside, but have the right heart and motive behind what you do. Well, and I think that goes right along with our topic.
Yeah.
And I think the Pharisees, you know, they were interested in what they were doing, and they missed the whole point about that it's not based on their own perfectionist merit, but it's based on the atonement and grace of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That it's not on what we do, it's on what he has done. And when we get that teaching right in our head, then that makes those actions a lot more doable, and that perfectionism seem like it can take a back seat, because it's like, I'm never going to be perfect, but I can be whole and complete and fully developed because of Jesus's grace and atonement and the things that he's done for me. That's what makes me whole, not my not my actions.
Achievements. Or, you know, I think perfectionists too say that we believe in, like we would all say that we believe in unconditional love, but a true perfectionist that has crossed the line into that says it but really doesn't, because you still feel that that God, number one, and those in your life only love you and you only have worth based on what you've done and if you're pleasing God and if you're pleasing them. And so it's not an unconditional love that you're even preaching. It's, again, action-based or achievement-based, and it's so backwards than what I think the Bible says, but it's crazy.
And, you know, in itself, wanting to achieve things and do well is not a bad thing.
No.
Mm-mm. And I think it's just the point that you carry it to, your motive, and when it just makes you dysfunctional becomes the problem. And
it's always a line.
Yes. And when, you know, you're doing it to be a people pleaser, and then you just do it out of fear. Mm-hmm. You know, fear of making mistakes, fear of being judged. Those things make it unhealthy. So it's okay to strive for doing things well. Like, I'm going to practice this, like my music more because I want to do it really well. Like, that's all really great.
Right.
But it's okay to be driven. It's okay to work hard.
Yep.
But then it becomes a problem too when you just don't cope well with it.
Yeah.
When you do have a failure and you punish yourself.
Yeah.
That all creates big problems, because a perfectionist really struggles with failures or mistakes, and maybe they just quit. Mm-hmm. They'd rather not even
try.
They don't even want to try. They don't start things. And I think this is a big problem, something I've recently learned from my husband about the way young men really struggle with life, is that with perfectionism, like our son, you know, I'm looking at our sons and young men, is that they're afraid to try things for fear of messing up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's messing with us, this whole idea of perfectionism, where some people don't even want to start, and where we have a tendency to want to just quit if we make a mistake. Like, fine, I just won't do this at all. And we can't handle these mistakes that we make.
It's called the all or nothing mentality. Yeah.
Right.
I think it's
it's the classic, like, the kid that says, okay, we're going to take you to piano lessons. Like, no, I don't want to go to piano lessons. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Why? Because I don't know how to play the piano. You know what I mean? Like, you always, you want to, like, be a master at something that you, you shouldn't know how to play the piano yet.
Right.
You know, that's why you go to lessons.
Right.
But we want to be achieved at that thing already or accomplished.
Yeah. You don't want to play a game unless you know you're going to win, or that you can win something. When my son was in kindergarten, he's old now, but I still remember the kindergarten teacher. You had like a, you know, where you have to go talk to the teacher, and she says, he's such a good student, blah, blah, blah. But he gets really, like, if he colors out of the lines, he takes his crayon and he chucks it across the wall. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've created a perfectionist.
No, he gets that from me.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Aww. I did that. But he's had to deal with that too.
And there's a young woman I talk a lot with, and, you know, she's in this, in Gen Z, or she is Gen Z. And so, you know, it's interesting to talk to someone who grew up in a different generation. And just her point of view on this was that she said that we are always exposed to something better or more perfect to compare ourselves to. She said it just kills your confidence. It kills your ability to really, you know, just trust, you know, you can pray and ask God, trust yourself that you can hear from the Lord about what to do or how to do things and to lead your life, because there's all this outside pressure. And I thought that was really interesting. You know, just, we were talking about problems with perfectionists, and I just, I feel sorry because I do, I hear what you're saying, Kelly, and I watch some people around me who I know struggle with these things, and it's hard to watch because they don't cope well with the mistakes or with a hard day, a bad day, or someone doing it better than you. It's very difficult for them and they don't cope well. It's hard to see because a lot of times they punish themselves. Like you talked about your eating disorder, Kelly. Some people turn to drugs, alcohol, different things to cope with those bad feelings. And that's why I think this topic is so important that we discuss this, that there are better ways to cope. There are better ways to come out of this than turning to those kinds of things that destroy your life.
I think too, not only does it affect us, but as leaders, it, I think being a perfectionist makes us hard to live with. It makes us hard to be with. It makes us hard to work with. And it makes it hard to work for us when someone's a true perfectionist, because you always feel like you're walking on eggshells with them and you can never attain, right? You never do enough or you're never good enough if you're only hearing the criticism. And so it makes it difficult as a leader to lead everyone under you and your expectations be, on them. I think that's pretty difficult.
Oh, that is really difficult. It makes it hard for people to work with you. There's so much pressure. Yes. And you know, another thing that comes along with people who are perfectionists is that they procrastinate. There's that fear of starting because they might mess it up or not do it well.
So what are some helpful coping mechanisms, or what would you say to the perfectionists of the world that are listening in and saying, yes, I need help. What can I do? I mean, would it be lowering your expectations or having God-sized expectations, like going to the Word, I think, and seeing, well, what does the Word say about this and about who I'm to be? And, you know, because I feel like I'm to be a reflector of Jesus Christ. And so when I get that in my head, then that's easier for me to, like, you know, make the mistakes, like I'm human, like make the mistakes, like try something, even if I'm not good at it. Take a risk, even if it might be 50%, you know, the first time around or something. Like what are some other things that people who really struggle with this, what can they do?
I think some practical things, like, well, first you said, obviously, stay in the Word, keep asking, Lord, I want the mind of Christ, because to be able to see it, recognize it. But I think setting more realistic goals, smaller goals and doable goals, like in a practical sense, so that they are actually attainable, because perfectionism's goals are usually like way high. And so I think that's good. Broaden your perspective on what matters. Like, I've had to do that a lot in my talking to myself. What really matters? The Word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Word says to set my mind on things above. Okay, what really matters for in the big picture, in the small picture? I think celebrating progress. A lot of times perfectionists don't stop and celebrate. Let's say if they made their goal, they just blow past it because they're on to the next one. So taking time to celebrate, give God glory, reminding yourself not to have extremes. It's either all or nothing, right? It's either trying to seek balance, keep reminding yourself of the truth. I think those are some of them, trying to believe truth rather than lies. You got more?
I have the same, actually.
Yeah.
The one that you talked about, to set obtainable and realistic goals, I think is very important, because you would tend to, as a perfectionist, make a goal that's so unobtainable, so high, and not realistic, you know. So I think to break that down, that you would want to make a plan, like steps to get to where you want to go, and put, you know, like due dates on that. Like, by this time, I want to be here or be doing this. And to make make a plan that you could follow through with, you know, baby steps to get to where you want to go in a healthy way. And then another thing is that perfectionists, it's a surprise, you know, that they either procrastinate or just quit when they make a mistake. But if you make that kind of realistic plan, realistic with realistic goals, it helps you to stick to it and not quit. And I think it helps when you have accountability, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With your plans.
Definitely.
Does it help to have people around you that aren't perfectionists?
I was just going to say,
because I'm like, well, maybe like you just need that the one person in the room that just wants to have fun.
Well, yeah, I have people in mind, like, that, and you're like one of them. You're low, like, calm down, Kelly, take a breath. Calm down, you know. Yeah. My husband's like that.
Hang out with me, you're gonna feel good about yourself.
No, not like that. But just a reminder of take a breath, and it's not, you know, help you to get your perspective right. I think it's important. I think it's true. And accountability. I have friends that know that about me, so they do come alongside and try to say, okay, let's think about this, you know, and helps me kind of, come on, I'm gonna take you here for the day. You just need to, you know. And so I think that's really good. You're so funny.
You need to have some fun.
Go ahead.
I had one thing I was going to say, that one of the things to do, how to undo your perfectionism, I would say, is to focus on what is positive and working for you and what is going well, and to be able to think realistically. And outside people, I think, might need to speak to you if you're not really seeing what's true and real. Yeah.
Well, that's why it's good to have people around you. I tell myself a lot when I'm trying to calm myself down, I need him. I need to depend on him, not perform for him, but rest in him. It's kind of like a phrase I say in my head. I need him. I need to depend on him, not perform for him, and to rest in him, like scripture says. So
I think sometimes we can miss the spirit too.
Definitely.
If you have such expectations where you can't get off that, then you could miss the spirit, because maybe the spirit's going in this direction and we're so into this plan that we had, that then we miss opportunities to just go, hey, let's just go where God, let's just keep these things in an open hand and go where God's going. But that's coming from, you know, your free spirited friend over here.
No, I just, to keep reminding yourself that we can't be perfect. I just keep thinking of all the greats in scripture, whether it's Moses, David, Peter, anybody put in there, the Bible is pretty clear on their flaws, right? They all had flaws. None of them were perfect. Yet again, David's man after God's own heart. Even we know his flaws. Nobody's perfect except Jesus. And so to remind myself, I am a flawed person, and I am free to follow Jesus imperfectly.
Amen.
And
I love that.
I just have to, if the Bible was all perfect people, we would be in trouble.
We would quit.
We would quit. It would be impossible. And we wouldn't need Jesus if that was true.
Yeah, that verse, Matthew 5:48, really messes with us, where Jesus says, be perfect. We misunderstand that so much. Mm-hmm. And we need to remember there's also the verses that say in John 15 that apart from him, we can do nothing.
Yes.
Like, we have to remember all of that. You have to really have a good self-talk to kind of talk yourself down from living out these unhealthy perfectionisms.
Yeah.
You know, like, you need to think in a realistic way and have people help you see what's true and real. A couple of things you said, Kelly, I think is so important too, that I even had written down, is that you really need to be gracious with yourself. You need to learn grace, that mistakes are there to help us learn and to help us grow. Mm-hmm. And a perfectionist, I think, is fearful of mistakes and of being judged and looking bad. And another thing is, you know, we were talking about people around us making it fun, but we have to constantly remember why we do what we do. The joys in it, the calling, and, you know, just be focused, not just on achieving things and achieving better things than I did last time and bigger, better, but to really remember why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
I think that scripture that you were reading in Matthew 48 it's interesting what goes before it, because he's teaching on loving your enemies. And right before that, he goes into, if you have heard the law say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the just and unjust. If you love only those who love you, this is right before that verse. If you love only those who love you, what reward is that to you? Even corrupt tax collectors do that. If you are the kind, if you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that, but you are to be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. So, like, if you think of that in context, he's talking about, like, just loving our enemies, loving people who persecute us. You know, are we the kind of friends? Can we be kind to anybody? And he's saying, in that way, be perfect as God is perfectly. Be complete. Like, you want to be complete in God? Love your enemies. Be kind.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's interesting.
I think we can deceive ourselves, you know, when we think we are pursuing excellence and we're trying to be perfect, or we tell ourselves we're doing this because we want to have a good testimony for Christ and glorify him. And we, that's all true. But oftentimes I think we deceive ourselves if we're not recognizing that root of perfectionism in him. I mean, I heard this week that Lance Armstrong, the famous cyclist, he denied taking drugs for over 2 decades. And when he finally admitted it, he blamed the need to be perfect. Like, he couldn't live with himself if he wasn't perfect. But he had deceived himself, I think, and probably, and let that drive cause him to become toxic and take drugs and stuff. Oh. And so we can deceive ourselves. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. We know this, desperately wicked. And so, again, own it. If there's any listeners that are kind of resonating with anything we're saying, if you see it in your heart or you see that in your life, own it. You know, bring it to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness and grace and help from the Holy Spirit to learn how to manage that. Put friends around you. Say, hey, I struggle with this. Help me. You know, I mean, I think that's just the first step, you know, recognizing it. And then taking, because we all have sinned, right? We all have tendencies. So own them and work through them with the help of the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen to that. On that note, what are some resources when you just said about self-deception? There's a book, it's a secular book, but it's one of the top leadership books right now. It's called Leaders in Self-Deception. Oh. And Ted and I have been going through it. I think we're going to go through it even as a staff, but it was like, it's like a game changer.
Who's it by?
Oh, I have to look it up.
Leaders in Self-Deception.
Leaders in Self-Deception.
I don't want to read that. No, I'm just kidding.
It's really good. And I have another one, but do you guys have some resources that we could share?
You know, I know you're going to ask me that, and I do not.
The Bible.
Jesus.
The gospel that I really knows didn't. We're not perfect and came to save us from ourselves.
Yeah, I really didn't. Sin. Don't have a book on perfectionism. I read a lot of articles, some from the Gospel Coalition. When I was just reading stuff, I read some articles from Desiring God and Christianity Today. So a lot of them were just from articles. I don't have any books centered on that.
Okay, so Leadership and Self-Deception, Getting Out of the Box. It's by the Arbinger Institute. So that's one. There's another one by Amy Spiegel. It's called Letting Go of Perfect.
Oh,
funny story about this one. I lost my book. So someone asked me about letting go of perfect. I said, I'm pretty sure I've let go of it because
I have no book.
I can't find my book. Like, I've lost it.
I didn't take good care of it. No. I'm going to read that one. That would have been good. So can that one count for my recommendation?
That can count for yours because I don't have a book. So you can recommend that one. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. We hope you find this content really helpful. Good conversation. So stay connected with us at When She Leads on Instagram and Facebook for further discussions and information and other opportunities. On another note, our leadership cohort started and they are in full swing. And so if you would like to get involved or become a part of a leadership cohort, we have a lot of different subjects that you can get involved in. Go over to whensheleads.org and check them out and see if there's something that you might want to be a part of. Until next time, we'll see you soon.